Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Kerry Hines. Stay tuned.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Kerry Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Kerry Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Just keep on doing what you're doing to me. Ah, yeah. Oh, it's ecstasy.
love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
Root Rock Salon. Healthy roots, healthy hair. Our expert stylists will help you shine naturally beautiful. We offer everything from hydrating shampoo, conditioning hair masks, oil steam treatments to lock in the cuticle, and an array of natural styles and programs to promote healthy hair growth using professional products. Book your consultation today online at RootsRockSalon.com. Visit us at 72 Harrison Avenue, West Orange, New Jersey, or call us at 973-957-7800. Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Keri Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
Understanding the importance of public relations as it pertains to you guys out there who are entrepreneurs like myself. I'm Keri Hines, and when I started focusing in on this industry, pretty close to 30 years ago, I knew that it was very important to gain exposure. And most folks who embark upon an entrepreneurial type journey or career probably or maybe not understand what public relations is all about and how it's an important stepping stone for anybody in business. My book, How to Get Rich in the Hair Business, really, really speaks to this. It covers every area of understanding everything, and we're celebrating the information that's in the book. Big anniversary for it, so I'm real excited about it. It's out there on Amazon, in case you're interested. Again, it's How to Get Rich in the Hair Business. But again, the PR, which is what public relations is referred to, is really where you are taking your message for your business, your products, whatever it is that you've got going on that you're looking to increase sales or bring awareness to what you want to do. The very, very first step, engaging the public's interest in what you have, is to create the understanding of how it's beneficial to the folks you're trying to reach. So just wanted to begin this talk, as we kind of again look at all of the different aspects of trying to get your business going here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. So I think this is a great way for folks to, you know, begin looking at how to connect with folks. That's what public relations is all about, and there's so much more to PR, and this is how you begin. Again, how to get rich in the hair business and so many other different ways.
Good morning, everybody. I am Cammy Love, Kid Entrepreneur, and I made a book about children's hygiene and hygiene in general, and kids going to the hair salon.
You should buy my book, and I encourage you to buy my book, because it is inspiring to young child authors, and it is inspiring to young girls and young boys and young children.
That's 11-year-old author Cammie Love and her book, Cammie's Spa Party. It's on sale today at Amazon. Pick up this amazing book for young minds, Cammie's Spa Party.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Carrie
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of The Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand, completely living off of Black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one Black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois. And that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. That means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few Black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about Black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our Black community my life. The Black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine light on what happened in Tulsa. Most Black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets, and if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible, but we can bring Black hair care back. There are great Black hair care companies that exist, Black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the Black community can own the biggest Black hair care brands, that the Black community can own Black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in Black neighborhoods, and Black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a Black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the Black hair care products that only Black people use, and they are not owned by Black people. So I've issued the Black-owned hair care challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, "Hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-owned hair care challenge," and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy Black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a Black-owned company.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
Good morning, Nicole Marie.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yes. How are
good morning,
you?
Good morning. I am great. How are you?
Doing just fantastic. Well, listen, let us kind of jump in on this, because this is something that I noticed recently. I'm kind of been in this mindset, Nicole Marie, about black theater. Black theater,
all right.
If you will. Yes. You know, because I've grown up here, you know, I live in New York City. We have Broadway. I've been to many Broadway
shows.
Famous
Broadway,
yeah. Yeah, but it kind of started back when I was a kid. It started back when I was a kid. I always used to be very much wanting to write plays, and I even tried out for the School of the Performing Arts, high school and all that kind of stuff, like the kind of show that the TV show Fame was based on. I'll fill you in on my audition and all that another time, but let me just tell you this. I was always influenced by what we have contributed, being African-American, the landscape of theater. And I had no idea about this. I had just uncovered a fact that I was really surprised about. And you guys may know some of this already. You may have seen the play out there yourself. But there was a play that I went to called Mama, I Wanna Sing. And and it was by a lady, I want to say Vi Hickinson, I think her name is.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, just an incredible. It was about her actual sister, I didn't even know this, was a real performer, a singer named Doris Troy. And I just happened to be watching TV the other day, and I saw Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr. on a commercial promoting some classic songs. And one of those was the big hit by the singer Doris Troy. So I said, Doris Troy, I remember that name from the play Mama,
the
I Wanna
musical,
Sing.
Right.
The musical. And I said, let me just Google Doris Troy and see who is Doris Troy. And as it turns out, I had no idea that she sang with none other than Dionne Warwick, Sissy Houston, and Dee Dee Warwick. Can you believe that, Nicole Marie?
Wow.
So that
I certainly did not know that, right.
Yeah, four incredible singers. Now, of the four, can you guess which two I've interviewed? Thought I'd get you on that one.
Dionne Warwick. And hold on.
Okay, let me just recap it for you guys out there. Okay, so we're talking about Doris Troy, who I just found out is performed with Dionne Warwick, Sissy Houston, and Dionne's sister Dee Dee Warwick. So that was very, very interesting. So of those four, I interviewed two of them, have been on our show over the years. Okay. Now, with that in mind, let me also say this. Two of them have gone on. So, okay. You give up. Let me just take out your misery. All right. Well, first of all, let me just tell you, I was just blown away to discover that Doris Troy first of all, I recognized her big hit record. That you guys can easily Google up, and I have to get it and put it on here. But I was just blown away that I knew the song without ever making the connection that was Doris Troy singing it, even though I had gone I'd gone to see it as a child. Again, Mama, I Wanna Sing. And so that was the big connection that I had. I said the big revelation. But then to realize that she had been one of the singers that sang with Dionne Warwick and Dee Dee Warwick and Sissy Houston. You know, they're all related, the three of them.
Right.
And so I thought that was interesting. Okay, now let me tell you. So all that to say, I love Black theater. It also reminded me of the incredible work of a gentleman who was also on our show, the one and only Shelley Garrett. Now, we lost him a few years back, but Shelley has made just a huge impact on me as well. And I had a chance to go and meet Shelley Garrett and his lovely wife, Doris, and she's been on our show as well. And we've just been able to make some amazing connections and have some incredible artists to chat with and to introduce to everybody. So it's been incredible.
Wonderful.
Correct? Yeah.
Wonderful.
So now, back to the Doris Troy story here. So as it turns out, the answer to the trivia is that of the four, again, Dionne Warwick, Dee Dee Warwick, Sissy Houston. Now, again, Sissy Houston is the mother, of course, of Whitney Houston, just so the folks know.
Right.
And of course, Doris Troy, who this incredible play was based on, Mama, I Want to Sing. And it really, the story came to life because the sister, who was a New York City DJ that we all know here, I remember her very well, brought this story to life. Now, Doris herself was, you know, you can guys can Google her whole thing out there, but I think we lost her along the way. But I think she saw the success of it inside the theater.
Right.
You know, so that was really good, and she made it a while after that. So, okay, so here's the deal. It was, okay, last chance. You want to take one last chance, or are you ready to just, what is it, Carrie?
I'm ready for you to tell.
Okay, all right. I teased it enough.
I had
guys.
My guess, but I don't think I'm correct, so I'm
okay,
ready for
well,
you.
That's okay. Let me tell you. It's no problem. Now, of course, Dionne Warwick has been on our show. You can see her picture everywhere. She's like a 4 or 5-time Grammy Award winner, as you guys know.
She
is the cousin to superstar singer Whitney Houston. Just an incredible artist. And she was a big pop star in her own right, one of the biggest in the world as well, who's had great songs. We know her from the We Are the World record with Michael Jackson, Lionel Richie, Tina Turner, and the list goes on. We're talking about a superstar. And for us to be able to have her on our broadcast took us to a whole new level. Well, I had, as you guys know, I've told the story about having the chance to interview Dionne's sister, Dee Dee, way years earlier. And Dee Dee, I had interviewed 2 times. And I never will forget her voice because it sounded so much like Dionne's speaking voice. And it just was always with me. I still hear the way exactly she sounded, which is really, that doesn't happen all that much, but in this case, it really does. So when I got a chance to interview Dionne, of course, before the interview started and off mic, I said, you know, I interviewed your sister, Dee Dee. I said, twice, and she thought it was just so remarkable. And I said, yeah, I most certainly did. It was just a lovely, lovely interview. She was just fantastic. And so the two that I interviewed, of course, are Dionne and Dee Dee Warwick. So there
right.
you go.
All
Is
right.
that not nice? Yeah.
That's
but,
nice. I had
Dionne
right, for sure.
What was that?
I said I had Dionne right, of course.
Oh,
I had
yeah.
her down.
Yeah, well, you know what? They are all superstars. And, you know, for me, just, you know, tipping my hat to Black theater, that's what this is all about. And while we're at it, I want to just take a moment to shout out the amazing folks at Upscale Magazine Radio.
Yeah,
they are doing Yeah, they're doing a great job. They've been really big supporters of the Hair Radio Morning Show and everything that we're doing, all of our entire team. And I'm just very happy that, you know, they're on board with us. And you guys can go to upscalemagazine.com as well. And just stay tuned. We'll always keep you informed right here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. Nicole Marie! So what did you think?
Yes. That's
awesome.
Wonderful. Yes.
Awesome. Okay. Well, folks, keep it right here. We'll be right back. We've got more to get to this morning.
I was just thinking, and, you know, that's a very dangerous thing for me, but I was thinking about some directions of media, especially, and some of the moguls. One was featured recently on one of my favorite other shows, The Sunday Morning, and they were talking about Byron Allen and all the things that he's done with media. And they had something with Robert Townsend and Keenan Wayans and all this stuff, even, you know, Camille Bell and Spike Lee. And I thought, wow, those are, you know, impressive people in, you know, in my little mind. But then it's like, you know, I'm kind of wondering, do they know how Keri Hines fits into this? Because you have been part of a media, I won't say frenzy, you've been part of the media and made some very, very important inroads and, you know, connections that I think that somebody needs to explore and write about or talk about or tell about. So I'm thankful that you're going to help me look back and kind of document some of the things that you have contributed to media and some of the people and lives that you've touched, because I think it's really important and people don't know because you're so humble. And if you would, just indulge me and share with the listeners some of the things that you do as Keri Hines.
Mary, just to even hear you speak of me like that is just, I can't even begin to tell you how profound that is. And when you mentioned folks like Byron Allen, I caught the tail end of that about Byron Allen. And I, on this amazing Sunday news program that I watch, and I'm going to Google it so I can see the whole piece, because I'm so motivated by individuals like Mr. Allen and so many others who demand to be treated with respect and demand that our community is respected with regards to broadcasting and communication and recognizing the talents and contribute, you know, what we've contributed. And so I'm all in. And I also want to extend the same kind of greeting to you and what you've been able to accomplish, Mary Reed Johnson, and with Hair, Head, Heart. So thank you. Thank you very much for that wonderful intro.
Absolutely. And there's so many ways that we can start, but I'm thinking I'll start with kind of the 6 degrees of separation, because I know you've had some of these topics and you've addressed them before they were, you know, addressed by, you know, some names that, you know, may have ties with whatever media source. And so let's maybe start with one. Let's talk about Cosby. And, you know, the show that you did, how did you come up with the idea to even approach that? And this was, you know, light years. I know who Camille Bell is, of course, but light years before this project was going, I think you had already addressed it. I mean, it went as it was unfolding. So how did you even come up with that, you know, feeling that pulse that maybe it needed to have a discussion?
Well, first, Mary, thank you so much. And I just want to preface all this by saying I don't know where Mary is going with whatever she wants to know, but the annals are open. Our archives are open, and I told her she has free rein to ask me anything that she wishes for you guys to know. So I'm glad you mentioned this. We did a piece called About Cosby and talking about Cosby. And I remember the graphic and the whole idea. And I had this inspiration from, you know, let me preface everything by saying let's go back to listen back for a moment on this, because a lot of what we do at Hair Radio and the Hair Radio Morning Show is steeped in coverage or revisiting topics and things that might make the general broadcast media a tad on the uncomfortable side. And it's not meant to do that. It's not designed to do that. It is for us to be able to be offer a bit of realism to the Black experience. And we welcome everybody to that experience. Doesn't matter who you are, what race or nationality or any of that stuff. But we wanted to take a look. I noticed for the most part that when I look at media, I see a divide. I see that there is a way that it appears to me anyway, that you know, folks outside of our community, you know, will listen or view discussions or topics or what have you, and folks that are inside of our community will view and listen and weigh in on different topics. And it can be largely said, of course, folks with shared experiences tend to have similar beliefs and all of that. So I can understand that. And folks outside of the community are looking inside, or looking from the outside to what they perceive to be how we are. So that's kind of how that is. So when you are telling a story, whether it's my show or the general media out there, you're telling it from that perspective. And if you don't have folks from this community, from our community, being part of those stories being told, well, they're not going to really tell it with the kind of real cultural connection that it needs to have. I'll give you a quick case in point, then I'll circle back to your question about Cosby. I was watching, like during the month of February, you'll always hear of Black History Month, and that's all wonderful and great. But I noticed a lot on local news, whenever that month comes around, and this is a good lesson for any time that you're listening to this wonderful piece today, but what I've noticed is that oftentimes the discourse or what the local news is doing, they're not really telling you stories about Black history. They will take a story about a person, a Black person of note, who might now be running a cookie stand or whatever, and they will talk about that on their newscast and then put the moniker or the banner up there, Black History Month or what have you, when the real truth is all that they are doing is doing what they should be doing anyway, which is inclusivity about African Americans, just like other cultures should be represented. And so, but the thing is, it's not Black history. It's Black people, no. But it's not really Black history. If you want to talk about the what the contributions of our ancestors have done for America, then talk about that. But you're not, you know, they think that just by showing Black people and putting the banner Black, you know, that already tells me who's in your newsroom and what your discourse is doing, and where there's a disconnection. So I don't want to be part of that, which is not organic for me. I want an organic experience each morning, and I want that experience to be shared by the folks who tune in. So there are, you know, I've never wanted to just, you know, when I like just to look at the shows and not, you know, even if they have Black people on their newscast, I'll tell you, you know, there's not an organic feeling for me. It's just, I see folks, and my favorite one is where you'll have folks who may be Black, who, you know, where folks outside the community look and they think they're kind of maybe not Black, and I'm looking at them thinking that they kind of might be Black, and somebody else is, because they, it's like I call them real, you know, invisible, kind of that can fit into anybody's mindset.
It's a commitment to whether it's community or colorization or perspective or heart. All of those, you know, are things that you can, you know, paint and make it seem if like XYZ, even though in reality it's not too hard to scratch that surface and see the reality, which is that you know, more than 98% of the media comes from an exclusive source. We'll just put it that way.
Exactly.
And so this is not a new story, but what I like about Hair Radio Network and what you do, Carrie, is that you are more genuine and don't seem to be afraid to have whomever, whatever story, and it's their story, you know, and you know, you invite them to present it, and I think that's very healthy. And again, you haven't been, it's not like your first time at the rodeo. You've been doing this for what, 29 years or thereabouts? How long have you been?
Somewhere around there. we'll park it on that one. That's a good number to park it on.
Okay.
But Mary, I do in closing on that, I do want to just mention that, you know, my whole point was that you have these different newsrooms locally who generally don't include folks of, I don't see it with my eyes so much, especially here in my market, with the darker hues. And but what I will find are folks who are totally the opposite, where it just does, it's not inclusive. And you feel that when you look at these things. And this is something that seems to be missing across the board, generally speaking. Now, when it comes to the Cosby conversation, that was my whole reason for thinking about Cosby, first of all, because when I thought about this and had the inspiration, it was from he had just been sent off to prison. You could see in the news coverage that to say it was slanted is like is the understatement of the year. And so it was in the midst of all of the confrontations.
Me
with,
Too moment.
Yeah, the Me Too type movement and all of these things bubbling up to the surface. But there was a tinge of other conversations that seemed to be the discourse that they were trying to bring to the surface, and that was color. And so with Bill Cosby's story, and again, he had just been sent off to prison, and the negative onslaught, and this is not to discuss whether or not he's innocent, as far as I'm concerned, or guilty. I have no idea. But what I do know is that the from my perspective, the lens was very different from what seemed to be, again, the folks inside versus outside the community. So as we moved along with his story that we've been kind of brought into this with local news media and the coverage of it, I just kind of thought that it was time to visit this after he had been away for some time, incarcerated. So I thought it was a good time that we should brush off this story that seemed to be, as far as the discourse I got from the media, was to lock him up, throw away the key.
Right. Not to say whether he's guilty or innocent. I mean, everybody's guilty of something. Everybody's, you know, just being responsible for your actions, whether you positioned yourself in someone's lair or, you know, whatever. I'm not going to retry that. But I also want to look at the concept of character assassination, and I want to look at the stereotypes, and I want to look at people being responsible and not responsible, on and on and on. There's just a myriad of directions we could go. But for him, one of the things that I would say, because you mentioned colorization, he was the first one, like they can pinpoint that this was the first leading black actor. He wasn't a subservient, he wasn't a lackey, whatever. He had equal footing with his co-actor, I guess, in I Spy, Robert Culp, right? They had equal roles, basically, and, you know, a little trendy. But he actually saw somebody being painted up in blackface who was going to be his stunt double for whatever episode, and he stood up and he's like, well, I'm thinking there's somebody who you could get who's already black, you know, that type of thing. So he opened up the door for that. He opened up the door for actors of all hues and all ages. You know, he did a lot of good. So to say that he's an imperfect person, I'm not necessarily shocked. I'm not necessarily saying he wasn't acting in some cultural ways that were accepted at the time, but the punishment and the crime don't seem to fit. I'm not going to judge that, but I'm looking at the good that he did as a black man in a very I want to say disadvantaged, but an unequal setting, and he still stood up and he still did good and right things, just like Hazel Scott. And you know, we have more than one, but his longevity and the numbers of paths that he opened up for other people, clean comedians, you know, all kinds of things. I think that those just shouldn't be thrown out with the bathwater. You can't undo the good that he did, you know. So I think if people take a listen to that discussion, I think they will be reminded of all the layers that go into being a celebrity and all the layers that go into being a black celebrity, and even the more layers and amounts of courage that it takes to be a black celebrity who recognizes that you do have some power and to use it properly. When I say properly, I mean for the positive of mankind or, you know, humanitarian efforts. And, you know, they could have totally just blown him away and, you know, we never heard of who Bill Cosby was again, but it didn't work out that way. So, you know, I applaud you for giving him some space and having a discussion about, you know, the good and the bad. So I just wondered where it came from. Yeah.
And Mary, that is that's exactly what happened. We wanted to take a look, and someone needed to mention the contributions. I'm from Philadelphia, so I grew up looking at every corner, and there's Temple University, and there is, you know, there's a very deep, profound feeling that you know Bill Cosby, that he's from Philly, and this was, for all of us, we had that kind of pride. But the thing that really resonated was that he had done so much in the education sphere. And so, so yes, again, this is not to try guilty. We don't know. I don't know. That's not my thing. I'm able to make that discernment about being able to see if to really look at the good. And that is something that is incredibly important. So, Mary, thank you for that. Oh, boy, you just opened up with a bang this morning. Okay.
Well, it's your show. I know that you have it, and I know that people need to know about it. So where did you come up with some of your titles for Hair Radio Morning Show? Because you've got the network, right? You've got the show. You have just a variety of parts of your brand. So expand on some of, you know, how one part of your brand led to the next part.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad you mentioned this, Mary, because folks are – sometimes they can, you know, we have similar titles with everything, and everything is radio and hair, and you're not sure if you're listening to the radio show or a recorded podcast or the live show or a 24-hour network. So we have all the above. And let me just tell you, I'm so pleased that you ask it this way, because it started out as the Hair Radio Show. And Hair Radio at that time was one word, so it was HAIRADIO. It was the Hair Radio Show, so it was literally three words. Hair Radio was a made-up word. I later down the road separated it, but at that time it was HAI Radio, the Hair Radio Show. And so no one could find it. So I said, okay, I got to separate the word hair from radio at that time in terms of the broadcast. And we started out of Newark, New Jersey on the station WNJR, which was located in downtown Newark, New Jersey. And that's on AM radio. So it's called AM and FM radio. It's called terrestrial radio. So I started on terrestrial radio. Folks, you know, these days they start on the internet. They start on the podcast.
Right, right.
I predated all of that. So I started on an AM station with the Hair Radio Show, and that was a fluke. I had already been producing radio shows. I started with a show on the West Coast for kids, and then came back to the East Coast and started a
program. Go back to that. Was that the Fuzzy Bear?
Well, it was actually, it was our version. It was my own thought. It was called Fluff the Bear. Fluff the Bear and I'll tell you that story too. It's a very interesting story. But I have to say it really was the beginning of my whole journey. So, and I've never really told this story, and then I'll circle back to why and how we got to Hair Radio and the names and all of that. But yes, when I moved out to California, because I'm from Philadelphia, folks, again, just as a reminder to just mention, I'm from Philly. And so I went out to the West Coast, to L.A., to Los Angeles, to just kind of, you know, get out to the sunshine. I'd always wanted to. I'd traveled there many times working in the airlines. I said, let me give it a try. So I moved out to the West Coast back in the 90s and started work for one of the major airlines, a legacy airline carrier, which is, means one of the old big-time airlines, and got with my coworkers. And I was inspired to create a children's character, and I was inspired by one of my friends who went to this super expensive school that you guys on the West Coast, all of my friends out in California, you know the school is USC. And there weren't a whole lot of, you know, wealthy black kids out there who were going to USC. You know, you had to have money, essentially, was my take on the folks, the kids that went to USC at the time. And so my friend, who was ironically from New Jersey also, here on the East Coast, that I met out there in L.A., and so shouting out the folks in Hackensack, New Jersey. So my friend John, and I got to talk with John. John wrote, I was so proud of him. I'd never met anybody around my age who worked for Billboard magazine on the West Coast out in L.A., which produces the Hollywood Reporter newspaper even to this day. They're still the same people on Wilshire Boulevard. Which I lived off of Wilshire in L.A. And so John was working for, you know, Billboard magazine. And he had been, they paid him extra, I guess, because he was already working there, to interview Queen Latifah. So I'm looking at
who?
His article, Queen Latifah. She's an actress and rapper from, yes. She's still out there doing a lot of things. And this was in the 90s, and Queen Latifah was mainly a rap superstar at that time. And so they put him in Billboard magazine with this huge picture, and it's still available on the internet too, by the way, this article that he did. And so I was so proud of John. I was like so proud. And I said, if John, now John was also going to school at USC, as I mentioned. And so I was like, wow, if he can do this, it's got to be something I can do. And so I went into, out in L.A., they have the apartment. And out there, it's a little different than here where I am in Brooklyn, New York, and probably out there where you are as well, Mary. But on the West Coast, out in L.A., the apartments all have like a little dressing room. So you've got a bathroom, and then you have a separate dressing room, which usually your bathroom lets into, and then you go into the rest of your apartment. Those were many of the apartments. You folks out there in L.A. know what I'm talking about. Well, that's very different here. I have never been into an apartment or even a house or anything on the East Coast that has a separate dressing room like that, unless you've got a mansion somewhere. So out there, that was the typical, all these old apartments have that. So I went into my dressing room in Los Angeles, and recorded a children's show. I just said, you know what, let me just, I literally, in those days, you'd have a tape recorder. And I took a tape recorder and just told the story of something that was off the top of my head. And I made up a story, being so influenced by And I'll see that influence was from Winnie the Pooh, obviously, when I was a kid,
right.
That my mom bought me those stories. So I came up with the idea of Fluff the Bear. I never made that connection at the time, but looking back, and as we are now listening back, but yeah, I created the Fluff the Bear story on an audio tape, audio cassette for you guys from the last century, or the last couple
Thank
centuries.
You.
So I created a story called Fluff the Bear, in which I was telling the story of a little child, a bear, who has great friend or these two little friends, and he went on a journey to fall asleep. So that was the whole story. Mm. That was the crux. Remember, it's for kids. You don't have to make it War and Peace. It just has to make sense to the little ones. And we didn't really talk down to them. We enjoyed telling a story that the whole family could listen to. And so I took this idea to my colleagues at the airline, and the airline allowed us, supported us. They did a big article of me in their magazine, their aircraft airplane magazine. So you guys
know
the
airplane. Oh, I remember those, yes.
You remember the back seats of each airline, you know, you
yes.
sit there and pull up. Well, I was on page 3. I'll never forget it for that month. And along with my colleagues at the airline. So we would voice the stories. And that led to so many other things. But largely, they had a plaque of me on the airline wall of my accomplishments. Mm-hmm. So the magazine, they had the picture, which I'll share with everybody. I put it on social media. I'll put it on our website at hairradio.com for everybody. But what was so astonishing is that no other employee had a plaque on the wall at the airline except me. And when I would fly on the airplane, you know, I would travel back from L.A. to my home, my family and stuff on the East Coast. They would announce that I was on the airplane and to turn to page 3 so they could read the article, and everybody would clap on the airplane.
V-I-P.
Well, that did it for me. That did it for me. So that's how I kind of, that kind of really brought me into it. And, you know, to think, and so I thank John for inspiring me to create Fluff the Bear. That went on to the success of the airline. And then the big news is the airline wanted me to develop audio content for the airplane for children. So that
oh, wow.
led me to go to end up on Sunset Boulevard in L.A. At the same building where Atlantic Records was at the time. You guys, you know, may remember Atlantic Records. So I went out mm-hmm. to that building, and because somehow I got connected with a public relations firm. Back in those days, I didn't know PR. I didn't know what a publicist was like anybody else. I was just like, you know, just going through life. And so I got connected with a public relations firm, and I remember going in that building and on the elevator looking out and seeing Atlantic Records on one of the floors on Sunset, and going up to the PR firm. And there were no black faces. Let me just be honest with everybody. There were none. And I sat in a conference room. They all came in, and they connected me with an outfit that took – radio, they had their own radio network, which I still remember, and they took my children's cassette idea, my children's cassette, and turned it into a radio commercial. And they put that mm-hmm. commercial of my cassette onto 875 stations advertisements. So we were in
wow.
875 markets talking about Fluff the Bear cassettes and the commercial, you know, the radio show and the, you know, get your own commercial, I'm sorry, get your own, buy your own cassette. So that was my first time being out in 875 markets at the beginning of this and the 90s. And so from there, I was discovered in part by, I took that and turned it into a weekly theater show. And the gentleman who was one of the stars of the Amos and Andy TV show. Now, remember, this is Los Angeles. He had
wow.
opened up and created a very respected live performing theater called the Ebony Showcase in Los Angeles. And he was there with his wife and his daughter, Valerie. And his name was Nicholas Stewart, was one of the stars of Amos and Andy. So I went to the theater. He loved me. They loved me there. And I got to know his family. And he allowed me to put on a Fluff the Bear live performing show on Saturdays. And that's what I did. So I had the radio show. By the way, the public relations firm introduced me to a radio station out in Glendale, California. So I was able to put on the very first radio show that was on that in L.A. anyway, at 7:30 in the evening, called the Fluff the Bear Radio Show. And from there, that was all running kind of simultaneously with the theater show from Nick Stewart Theater, called, again, the Ebony Showcase Theater. What I loved about Ebony Showcase Theater, and again, you mentioned about the 6 degrees, is that one of the board of trustees, Nick Stewart had all these black celebrities as trustees of his theater, his board of trustees. And one of those individuals was, of course, guess who? Bill Cosby.
Spike. Oh, Bill. Oh, my.
Bill Cosby. So there you go, Miss Mary.
Wow.
So,
now we're listening to Air Radio Network, or which one are where we? Hair Radio Morning Show?
Well,
which degree are we in right now, Gary?
Well, that's the thing, and I wanted to spell out the beginning. So that's how the Hair Radio Show had started. So I got that impetus when I returned back home. I took the success from all those cassette sales, moved back to the East Coast, and opened up office space in downtown Newark, New Jersey. And that's where I had my own staff. I had all kinds of folks helping me at that time, with two assistants and, again, upstairs in Newark. It was really nice. Now, so I created the Hair Radio Show at that time. And the Hair Radio Show was really just the idea of taking I thought I would just have a hairstylist or two give out some hair tips. And that would be it. So I assembled a staff. Most folks don't know that I didn't host the first hair radio show, even on my own production.
Well,
I had taken four hairstylists. Two were doing what in those days we called natural hair, which is what it is, still is. But they would do like locks and twists. That's what they were known for in Orange, New Jersey. And one lady, she was in Montclair, New Jersey, and she would talk about, like, the cosmetology side of hair care. Mm. And then I had another gentleman who was a barber, but I think he also did, like, natural hair, but he was, like, a barber in that realm. And the four of them, along with, I just produced the show, the first hair radio show, I just produced it. And they would talk, and they were wonderful. I love them so very much. But you're looking back at a lens now that's very different than in 1995. In 1995, we all had to be in the same room to produce a radio show like that, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
So you could dial in, but you had to go off to a radio station in those days. So it was so hard to connect everybody who was in different places. And they were awesome. I love them so very much. I wonder whatever happened to them. I'm going to see if I can find them
say
hi.
Great.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I'm going to try to do that. I'm so glad we're having this discussion this morning on the Hair Radio Show. But, yeah, that's how I started. And the only reason I said, well, I love the hairstylist giving tips, but let me see if maybe I could do it since I couldn't get everybody as often as I wanted to, and I had schedules and things like that to adhere to for the radio stations that we were on down in Newark, New Jersey. And so I said, I'll take over the hosting if they'll accept me. I'm thinking, you know, as far as the public is concerned, I said, because I can look at it from the novice's point of view, which is probably it's the angle anyway that I wanted to have. I wanted to ask the questions genuinely that folks who need to know, you know, would like to know. It's the same thing I wanted to know. And that's what I did. Okay. I started with that in mind, and I took over the reins of host of my own show and creation for the Hair Radio Show. And that's how I started But Mary, with that impetus, or with the thought anyway, that I was providing content for just the general public, I had no idea that we were going to be taken over, so to speak, by professionals in the industry, by the product companies, by all kinds of folks coming on board, by the entertainment folks even hijacked us. But I had
Talk about some of the product. Talk about some of the product connections and people in the industry that have appeared or that you've worked with on Hair Radio Network.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and also just to wrap it up, so you know what happened after that, because we went from the three-word title, The Hair Radio Show, to the actual kind of like five-word title, which is The Hair Radio Morning Show. So as I said, back in 95, the Hair Radio Show was created, and I'm very proud of that. And we started again with folks, you know, the general public providing tips. But as we moved along, I left the industry, and I wasn't as steeped in the hair industry. Let me just say that at that time. I got inspired by the folks at Bronner Brothers, which I'm shouting out the Bronner Brothers folks. I'm great friends with Bernard Bronner and all the people these days. But when I started, I didn't know them. So I went to the Bronner Brothers event down in Atlanta at that time and had a chance. I was so inspired by seeing so many amazing people of color assembled, great music blasting from through the rafters and all kinds of movement. And it was I was so touched. And then I got to know a lot of the African-American hairstylists who were there. They were off in their rooms. It was like a convention, and they invited me. They took me in and made me a part of their family. And that feeling is still with me today. And I have devoted myself to the betterment of this community, and it's never waned. I'm still a person who cares very much for hairstylists and for hair people. That will never change, and I'm glad that I hope that I've represented the community well. And so that is how the Hair Radio Show began, and we brought it back in 2015 as the morning show, kind of like a...
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at chairwatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com, because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio. You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines and Nicole Marie with Michael Hopkins and Blue. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You go, girl. You go, girl is a brand new product line that includes an edge control hairsprays and a product that also offers relief to those dealing with an itchy scalp. Now, if you're looking to moisturize and hold twists and locks in place, You Go Girl offers a gel cream. And for the hair braiders out there, You Go Girl has a hair brand that's made of the highest of quality hair. Now, it's available in a variety of colors and textures. So go to www.yougogirlbraidhair.com. That's you like uniform, gogirlbraidhair.com. And tell them you heard about them right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. You go, girl.
Coming soon, don't miss the brand new Hair Radio streaming network show, I Love the 90s. Take a listen back to interviews of the biggest names in music, including CeCe Peniston. Tony Terry.
It's for real, what I feel.
And of course, Destiny's Child. Tune in and enjoy the memorable moments with the Hair Radio and their lineup of amazing artists telling their stories, giving insights, and of course talking hair and beauty right here on Hair Radio.
All right, everybody, it is mid-show. It's Friday, November 4th of 2022. It's hour show number 781. As we roll into the final day this week that we are on live here at our three-hour show, let me see if I can get on my amazing co-star. You guys know her well. She's from Water Valley, I'm talking about the new lamented Queen of the Morning, Queen Nicole Marie. Good morning, Nicole Marie.
Good morning, and happy Friday. That is fabulous.
Is that not
Thank
an intro?
So
yes, of course. Well, first of all, happy Friday to you. It is our
happy Friday.
Really,
the show
at 7:15 or so in the morning here in New York. But out in Central Time Zone, it's about 6:15. So it's on the early side. We welcome you to the broadcast. We just love all of our fans and all the folks who take time to tune in to the broadcast each day. We hear from 6 to 9 in your time.
Thank you.
Yeah, in the morning. Sure. And then we replay the show a little later and share it out around the internet. So you have an option to listen live or you can play it back later. We're, equally satisfied. If you listen live, you can call in and be part of the show by sharing your sentiments, pressing 1, letting us know that you're standing by, of course. We've got a really, as you've been listening, we've been playing some great things here. I want to get on a piece from the 1st of November, so from a few days ago. We had a guest, Kokai Olushola. And he is the health insurance advisor, officially for the Hair Radio Morning Show. And he talks about the first day of open enrollment. So it was all of this, he clarifies Obamacare. He was on our show a couple days ago, and I wanted to get that back on to remind the fans and the listeners. It's a great piece on clarification of that because it can be so confusing with all the insurance talk.
We wanted to
definitely acknowledge his great appearance on the show, and we'll get it on. I'll tell you, we'll probably get it on sometime during the next hour. So we'll figure it out. We'll let you guys know. So just keep it right here. There's a lot that we will be talking about today. Speaking of the next hour in our spotlight hour between 8 and 9 New York time, 7 and 8 if you're in Central time zone, we've got a great guest. He's going to be with us live, we say in studio. We're talking about the incredible Wayne Smith. He is the former mayor from out in New Jersey, a town called Irvington, where I used to actually live there. I lived there briefly a good while ago. Yeah, so it's a great place. I know it well. And Wayne Smith has made such a great impact. He was mayor for 12 years.
Yes, he has.
So he definitely qualifies for a great political advisor and a great friend to our program. And we are so honored to have him
in this
capacity.
Can't wait to speak with him.
Yeah, it's been a while since he's been on the show, Nicole Marie. It really has.
Yes,
and,
it has.
I told him, I said, you haven't been back for a while. So he's got a lot to talk about. Today we're really, you know, it's
so
a very pivotal time. Yeah, it's a pivotal time in our country. And so he is going to help us to clarify and identify how our vote counts, as well as break down all of the incredible races around the country. Yeah. So some of the things that are happening in the political world. So I'm excited about all of that.
We've got a lot more
on the way. It is Friday, so we're going to kind of have a little fun as well.
All right.
So, yeah, it's a lot that we're going to be unpacking today and continuing to unpack, as you guys have heard. So we've kind of had a little bit of a hodgepodge. We played one of my favorite pieces with Mary Reed Hart from Hairhead. Oh, Mary Reed Johnson from Hairhead Art.
Mary Reed Johnson,
Mary Reed Johnson, she was great. And she did an interview with me not all that long ago, and that's what we had back on. It was just one of my favorite things. So if you missed it, though, if
amazing
you just kind
interview.
Of join me in,
yeah,
play
talking
it back.
About
thank
your journey,
you.
Carrie. I love it.
Yeah. And it has been a journey that is still unfolding. And I'm super excited about that. We're still in the road, on the road, and making the road, and, you know, continuing to have an impact on the community, right?
Oh, yeah. That's what it's about. That is definitely
that
what it's about.
You are correct, Nicole Marie.
That's why we are here,
We're here. That's why we're here. I love that. You're absolutely right. Well, speaking of here, and we're going to get Michael on. Michael Hopkins will be joining us. You guys know him. He is the host of the Vet Talk Radio Show. He'll be up in just a little bit with us. And I can't wait to get Michael on because I think he has a special tie to some of the music we've been featuring today. One of my favorite groups of all time.
It's been great.
We opened up today's show with Sister Sledge, and so and a song that I absolutely love, really. So I think I'll try to get that particular song on again, because if that song doesn't get you up and dancing, I don't know what will. So we'll get that on in just a little bit.
Great,
and then one
music
of their
today.
Biggest hits. You know, if we do any kind of a informal tribute to Sister Sledge, informal or formal, we have to play She's the Greatest Dancer. So I'll get that one on for you guys, two of them. Yeah, I like that a lot, but we'll get on some of their music, and we're going to talk about them. So we got to bring on Michael. He's a fellow Philadelphian, and as you guys heard earlier, we were talking about Bill Cosby and the impact he had on Philly. And so much more. I'm from Philadelphia. I was born and raised there, so about 15 or so. Michael, as well, Michael Hopkins, is also from Philadelphia. So we'll talk a little bit more about that as we move along this morning. But I've got some big news for everybody.
Far from you in Ohio.
Right, you were in the valley. We call it. You know, you were out in Ohio.
Yes, I was born and raised in Ohio.
Yeah,
so I wasn't too far from you.
It's hard to believe that you are an Ohioan.
Yeah,
you're an Ohioan.
Yes, I am. I am a Buckeye. Yeah. I'm a Buckeye.
You're a Buckeye. Yes, that is the Buckeye.
Oh
yes,
it
absolutely.
Is.
Well, we just appreciate. We want to shout out to all of the folks out there. From the East Coast to the West Coast, from the North and South, to our fans outside of America. I want to shout out to Samantha up in Nova Scotia, Canada, and all our Canadian listeners. I also want to take a moment to shout out to our amazing friends in Ghana, which is West Africa, Nigeria, also South Africa, over to Kenya, and up in the northern part, which is Egypt. And, you know, one of my, the places I wanted to visit, which I never got to Cairo, but I wanted to go up there. So lots of fans everywhere, plus our European fans. I want to shout them out, our South American fans. We have fans in Asia, of course. We have fans literally in every corner
all
of the world.
All over. That's wonderful.
So,
thank
yeah.
you so much
so
for listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. We
exactly.
greatly appreciate you.
Exactly.
Thank you
well, listen,
so
coming
much.
Up, in about a half hour or so, maybe a little less, we're going to be making a big announcement that on some
right.
booking guests that we have, some new folks who it'll be their first time, talk about the 90s. I think you're going to enjoy it. We've been playing that the
90s
music. I've chatted with a lot of folks from the 90s. They fit right on in. And they are legends. So you're going to want to stick around to hear all
awesome.
Of that. And
yes,
and then
the
next hour, as we've got a special guest. So lots to get to. Nicole Marie, what's going on in girl power news for you ladies out there?
Girl
what do you have
power,
to say?
Girl power news. Well, let me just say that for girl power today, this is a great girl power moment. Mattel Creations, the company that's behind the iconic Barbie doll, has created a doll honoring the fabulous Miss Tina Turner as part of its signature music series. Barbie celebrates her music career and her journey. You know, everybody knows she is a Grammy winner, chart-topping singer, and one of the best-selling recording artists of all times. The doll.
And don't mention those legs.
Oh, yes. You cannot forget those legs. And she still looks
Tina
fabulous
Turner.
Today. Oh, yes. So
yeah.
fabulous.
She's still
so
got it going
fabulous.
On today. And we just
yes,
love her
doll
so much.
Clothing.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I actually saw her in concert live in New York City. And Tina, let me tell you, this was at the height of What's Love Got to Do with It. And
wow.
it was around the time for you old heads. They had something called the, the USA, I think it was Live Band Aid out of Philadelphia at the time. They had a big concert. Live Aid and with Bob Geldof. And but I remember around that time, and she did a great performance with Mick Jagger on stage at the Live Aid concert. But my take on it was that she was incredible. And I've shared this with folks. I have never, and I've seen Michael Jackson perform twice in real life, you know, on stage. The actual Michael, not this fella that's out there now on Broadway. I mean, he's done a great job, but no, I actually saw the Michael Jackson and so many others. Tina Turner, to me, it hasn't been, I've never in my life seen anyone perform with the energy and vigor that lady had. Never.
Wow.
I've met that woman. She danced and sang from the moment she took the stage.
Wow.
With that kind of energy,
amazing.
I don't know how she did it. To this day, I marvel. No, I really don't. It's incredible. I was there, so I can tell you.
Right. You saw it with your own eyes.
Yeah, I saw it with my own eyes. So Tina Turner is an incredible legend, and they did the right thing by making this doll, and what took them so long?
Exactly.
But better late than
never.
Exactly. Yeah.
Better late than never. Yes, it is here.
Yeah, taking the time to recognize. I mean, she sings some of my most favorite songs. Iconic. She's an iconic performer. An iconic performer. So
yes, she is.
Really great.
Love Tina Turner.
Yeah.
Her music.
Well, listen, it is the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. You're listening to myself and Nicole Marie. She's out of Water Valley, Mississippi. Mississippi. Did I put the I on there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You did.
Okay. I love it. I love it, love it, love it. And all of our fans. One of my great friends is from down there as well. I want to say we've been kind of playing an informal tribute to these ladies. And I gotta get on this. We gotta play the one song that everybody loves from this group. And then after that, we'll see if we could check in with Blue down in Jacksonville, Florida. And so much. And remember, I have a big announcement on some
big
guests.
Or next stay
week
tuned.
For
stay
some
tuned.
Folks to be joining us. You don't want to miss this announcement. That's all I'm going to say. So that'll be right after this song. Like I said, this is a song that you got to play. If you're going to give them any kind of a tribute to my fellow Philadelphians, you've got to get this on. And we'll get Michael to weigh in just a bit on it. We'll be right back again with Blue and so much more today. Michael Hopkins, myself, we got special guests coming up. Dr. Paul Dyer will be in the next hour. Wayne Smith, the former mayor from Jersey, will be joining us. Big show still on the way. Stay with us.
He's the greatest.
and welcome back to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Carrie, over to you.
All right, we're back live. It is mid-show. It's Friday, November 4th of 2022. And I want to thank Angela for the intro, by the way. Yeah, really good stuff. It is, like I said, it's Friday. We are just having a great time with some of our classic hits. You guys know that song. It's from my fellow Philadelphians, of course. We're talking about Sister Sledge and their incredible career. We're going to talk a little bit about them in just a bit. I wanted to say welcome to everybody. You guys have been tuned in. Let me get on the folks. It's time to get everybody on. We've got Nicole Marie back with us, of course, my co-host and co-star out there in Water Valley, Mississippi. Again, now officially happy mid-show exactly. Hey, Nicole Marie. Again, good morning to you.
Happy
mid-show. Yeah, we're having a great time. Absolutely.
Yes.
Hey, I want to get
I'm
on.
I'm over here just dancing, Carrie.
Oh, me too. Yeah, yeah. And like I said, they've got some hits to me, some jamming songs out there. Let me get on Blue. Let me see if she has ever heard of Sister Sledge. This might just surprise us. Blue, are you there? The lady
good morning,
from Divine
Blue.
Candles, luxury
good morning,
candles.
Good morning.
How
happy
are you
Friday.
Today? Happy Friday.
Yes, happy
great.
Friday.
How are you? Yes. I'm doing wonderful. What?
Yeah, they
and
is.
I love
this display. Beautiful. Oh, you. Oh, you
yes, love. I was in here jamming while y'all was. I wonder why. I was like, yes, great song for Friday.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I love that song.
I love it. Blue, let me tell you, they've got one of my favorite songs. We're going to get it on because that's got to be one of my favorite songs. And we have a big announcement we'll cover in just a few minutes with everybody to mention. What we're talking about are some big names will be guests right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show next week. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Yeah, we're going to get into all that talk this morning. And, of course, Michael will be on the way from Vet Talk Radio Show. But, Blue, I've got to talk to you about the scent of the day and Friday this week. You know, on Fridays we love to get it in. I really don't just call it the scent of the day on Fridays. To me, it's the scent for the weekend, you know, that we kind of cover everything and we do a little bit more talk. So, Blue from DivineEnergyCandles.com, luxury candle line. So, what do you have for us today? We are excited. We want some good scent.
Oh, yes.
Oh, well, today I feel like it's a pretty great scent. It's appropriate for the time of the year we're in right now. It has autumn and fall written all over it. So, I've come up with the wonderful scent, Fallen Leaves. Now, we have to wrap yourself in this smell of autumn air with our vibrant Fallen Leaves fragrance. This warm and inviting fragrance starts with top notes of cinnamon and citrus, and at the core of the fragrance, the sweetness of apples and berries combined with green leaves. Now, pecan and cedar-based notes enhance the natural outdoor quality while balancing the fruit and the spicy notes. This earthy scent is enhanced by an infusion of cinnamon leaf, patchouli, cedarwood, and sandalwood. So this is perfect for all you fall lovers out there.
Oh, yes.
Now, again,
well, first of all,
can see the leaves falling and smell it.
Exactly. I love the name, Falling Leaves, because it's a very autumnal sound to it. And and here, especially in the Northeast, you know, I'm in Brooklyn, New York, so this means a lot to me to hear that. And I love earthy. Bring it. Okay. Divine Energy Candles. Blue, we just love all that you're doing to keep our noses.
Yes, thank you, Blue.
Yeah. Good job, by the way, Blue. We're definitely going to shout you guys out and your team at Divine Energy Candles. Autumnal. You're doing some good stuff. Now, you also prepped for the holiday. So we want to make sure to remind folks this is a good time to pick up your gifts. Candles make great gifts.
Yes,
absolutely.
They do.
They really do. People love a wonderful candle to burn.
and I'm raising my hand. If you need my address, is on the website. Ship away.
Come on.
We love Divine Energy Candles. DivineEnergyCandles.com.
Oh, yes.
Blue, you have a lot of scents there. You don't just have, we just do a scent of the day, if you will, but Blue has a lot of scents.
I do. I do, because I do a lot of special requests, and I have a lot of people that do a lot of custom orders. So when they do these custom orders, if I don't have the scent, I will get the scent, you know. So
That's what I love. Yeah, mm-hmm. you will customize it for folks.
Yes,
because a lot of we like it. Now, I don't know about folks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a person, you know, everybody smell, you know, has their scent that they like at a certain time. You guys
mm-hmm.
know my favorite time for the scent. Do you guys know it is early in the morning? It's my favorite time. I have to have good smells in the morning.
Yeah, me too.
That's
help
me
get my day going. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and at night before bed.
Okay, you're at night before. See, I'm afraid I'll leave.
I'm in the morning and at night. Yeah, I mean, I'm guilty, you know what I'm saying? I've had some really busy, tiring days, you know, and not even realizing fell asleep. You know, then I wake up like, oh, my goodness. And I get up and just, you know,
jump up.
Not anywhere,
night.
You know, it's a safe spot. Yeah, I'm in a safe spot.
Yeah.
I always make sure it's safe, you know, but you just never know if you're going to just tumble over because you don't. We really work hard, you know what I'm saying? And your body doesn't tell you before your mind will.
Doesn't take long.
Exactly.
No.
Doesn't take
long. That's exactly correct. Mm-hmm. When I put on my Divine Energy Candles these days, or any, for me, you know, I'm at my desk. It's always in my office here at my studio. And I'm
mm-hmm.
always, I literally am looking at it. It's right here.
Yeah.
It's facing me,
right
bro.
In front of
you. I hear that, you know. And I just have it when I'm working. You know, it helps inspire me.
Mm-hmm.
I love the smell, just like you said, Lou, and the comfort. It gets me going in the morning. And
it's really
the truth.
mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I'm loving it. Well, listen, I have to tell you, so we love that Falling Leaves. Divine Energy Candles, luxury candle line, DivineEnergyCandles.com.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So, Blue, now listen, I don't know if you heard any of this, but if you are a fan of the 90s, many folks out there know that we've been playing a lot of the classic songs from that period and earlier era
mm-hmm.
right here on the show. Today we've been featuring some incredible Sister Sledge music. And one of my favorite songs, of course, of all time, is by this group. And I'll get that song on for you in just a few minutes. Maybe we'll go ahead. Why don't we do this? Because this announcement, I think you're going to want to hear this. And we're going to get Michael Hopkins on as well. And we're going to get on all the folks. So coming up, I'll tell you what. We will just get on. We'll take a 60-second commercial break and then the big announcement. So don't budge anywhere. I think you guys are going to love this announcement. So stay with us coming right up right after the commercial break.
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at chairwatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
Buy your favorite scented candles at Divine Energy Luxury Candles. I'm Kerry Hines. Divine Energy Luxury Candles create an unmatchable ambiance and can immediately enhance your mood. They offer an array of original scents made with coconut soy, hand-poured love.
Fill your home and soothe your senses today. Order from DivineEnergyCandles.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hunt.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout-out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right, thank you, Purple Barbie. Again, it's Friday, November 4th, 2022. It's hour number 781. I always have to kind of pause before mentioning that, those big numbers. Yeah, of the all-new show. And so as promised, we're going to get everybody back on the line. And I also want to bring Michael Hopkins in on this conversation. Michael is the host of the Vet Talk Radio Show. He comes to us out of Spotsylvania, Virginia. Michael, I'm going to bring you right on in. We got Nicole Marie, we got Blue, and we've got Michael Hopkins. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
Michael.
Good morning. Happy.
All
happy.
Right.
Yes.
Happy Friday, right?
Happy Friday.
Happy
yes,
Friday. Yeah, we're about to get into our spotlight hour. Listen, I want to go ahead and get this one out to everybody. First of all, you guys know that we've been playing some classic songs. I think, Michael, you've been just jamming along with Sister Sledge.
In color.
You know,
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They're from Philadelphia. Michael's from Philadelphia. I'm from Philadelphia. So we have a big, big connection to the sound, that Philly sound. And so I've been kind of playing some songs from that era. But first, Michael, I want to kind of get into this announcement today to let everybody know what's happening next week. I'm going to quiet the background sound here a little bit because I want to talk about this. Next week, we're having some folks that are coming to the show that I kind of remember from the golden age of TV. And when I say the golden age, I mean the black golden age, which was like the 90s. And so these three legends are all coming to our broadcast. Next week. You guys know her. She starred in the TV show called A Different World. Her name is Jasmine Guy. I'll be chatting with Jasmine next week right here.
Amazing.
On the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Yes.
That's going
yeah,
to be quite exciting. Oh,
yes,
yes,
it is.
She's one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
Of all
oh,
time.
Yeah.
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 So that's going to be super,
can't forget
super
that voice.
Exciting.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't think she's
right about that. Right about
that. I don't know. I don't know if she really. We're going to find out. We're going to find out. Maybe we can, we'll see. You know, you got to pay what you say. Can you do a such and such a voice for us? They don't usually like that too much, Nicole Marie. They don't usually.
I know it. I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Yeah, no. We love her, so we understand. And if that's not enough, we also are bringing a gentleman who named Dorian Wilson, who you may not know by his name, but I love him because he starred with the comedian Monique, who played on this show, TV show called The Parkers. He was Professor Ogilvy. So,
Dorian, one of my favorites.
He's coming to the show as well next week. He'll be with us too. So that's pretty cool.
Be awesome.
And I've got one more for you. And
right.
So I don't know if
bring
you guys
on,
heard of the TV show called Living Single, but I have
living in
a 90s
world.
He played the character Kyle. He'll be joining us next week as well. So it's Legends Week right here at the Hair Radio
What a
Morning
lineup,
Show.
Carrie.
Yeah, he got a nice lineup. We saw a movie with him in it the other day on what's that streaming channel, Tubi. I just watched the movie with him on it in Tubi the other day.
Get out of here.
He was playing a judge in this movie. He was a judge. Yep.
He's a great actor. Did you enjoy
he
it?
Really is.
Because he's a great actor.
Oh, yeah, I enjoyed it very, very much. It was good to see him, too, because I haven't seen him in a while, you know?
Exactly.
So,
wow.
Yeah,
and you guys have to remember, it's been many years. And so
mm-hmm.
we tend to reframe them in our minds the way we last saw them. But
right.
They kind of, you know, they pack on a pound or two and got
a
but
a little
they
bit
they
down. He had on
green.
Glasses, but
right.
he still was looking good now. He still looked good up there
oh,
in that judge chair with that black gown on. He looked good.
Yeah, no, he
looks
fabulous. And so does
the
others,
the
too,
reruns.
I gotta say.
Yes.
I love it.
The reruns are still
it.
On.
So, well,
yeah, they sure are.
I'm happy that they're coming to our broadcast.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. That says a lot for Hair Radio.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Carrie Hines.
Looking forward to that.
Carrie Hines.
Yeah.
Hey, well, Carrie.
I'm super, super hyped. Yeah.
So excited. So excited.
Yeah. Well, this is what it takes.
So
now, there is the gentleman who was on Tuesday's show. Now, I do want to get it on. We'll probably get it on some point in the next hour, but he was our contributor about health insurance. And so we'll play that a little later for you guys in the next hour because it's so important to sign up and to register and when they have these windows of enrollment. And his name is Kokai Olukua.
Insurance is so critical.
And he breaks it down for us. Yeah. So I took it out of Tuesday's show on the 1st of November since that was the first day of enrollment, open enrollment or what have you. And I've cut it out for you. So I've got it for you coming up in the next hour. So we're going to chat with Wayne Smith. We got Dr. Dye. We got everybody, a whole panel. But we'll take some time to listen to this important announcement as well. So. Guys, a great show today. And I mean, I'm happy.
Great.
It really is. Michael, I think you said the line. It's a 90s kind of world. It really is. We're back to the
90s. Yes, it is.
And not a minute too soon. Because this album, the music, and all the, I'm tired of all the that's why I've been playing some of these incredible songs that we grew up on and some of the songs that bring back some of these incredible
memories.
Yeah,
so
a lot
many.
Of good memories. A lot of good memories.
Yes. So you, Michael, you have a special connection with the Sister Sledge folks. Can you tell us about that? Because I want to get on my wonderful song that I've been talking about all morning. And can you tell us a little bit about your connection to this iconic group?
Oh, sure, Carrie. Back in the day, I actually went to school with them.
Yes.
I actually went to school with Sister Sledge.
Yeah.
And they were, believe it or not, they used to perform. You remember, Carrie, you were saying back when, you know, we used to have assemblies in school when we were young kids.
Yeah.
And that's what they would do. It was the three of them.
Assembly.
The four, right. They would literally perform. They would sing. This is way before they were Sister Sledge and We Are Family and all that. They actually used to sing at the assembly. And everybody knew who they were. It wasn't like, oh, my God, it's Sister Sledge. No, it was just Joni and Kimmy. And, you know, that's the way I saw them. I even went to a picnic with them. They had a picnic one time and up where they lived in Northeast Philadelphia, Roosevelt Boulevard and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, most people in Philadelphia wouldn't know. But I actually went to a picnic. I actually had, where they lived in Philadelphia, I used to go over their house, you know, go visit them. And it wasn't like it was, you know, they're mega superstars.
Wonderful.
No, they were just, you know, they were just the kids I went to school with, elementary and junior high school.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, I tell you something. I'm a big fan of theirs, and we love them. When I was a kid in Philadelphia, as they blew up, literally. First of all, their song "We Are Family" is one of the biggest records of all time.
Oh yeah,
and iconic song.
Yeah, We Are Family crossed all genres of music. You know how they always like to pigeonhole,
right.
black music
right.
and all it's
oh,
soul
yeah,
and R&B.
That, oh
this,
yeah,
to keep
oh,
it out of
yeah.
the masses, so to speak, in my opinion. But
oh,
here, is,
oh yeah,
those were some great songs. The song that I opened up the show with today. I'm gonna put that on. I want you guys to hear it. It's some great vocals, and to me, I just love. The young, the one who's just in Kathy, I just love all of them. I love each of these folks. And I know we lost one, but they've been continuing on, and just we just appreciate them so much. So here, we're going to take a little break. We're going to get on this song by none other than Sister Sledge. And Michael, you can get up and dance again. And,
oh,
and then
I will.
Yeah. Okay. And then at the top of the hour, then we shift gears and go into our political strategy mode with none other than Wayne Smith and Dr. Dyer and our panel, including Nicole Marie, Michael Hopkins, and yours truly. So lots more to get to this morning. Let's go ahead and get on that music. We could use a little music pick-me-up. Here is Sister Sledge and Thinking of You. My favorite song. Stay tuned.
Anna. Yeah. Just keep on doing what you're doing to me. It's ecstasy.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
Time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right. Thank you so much, Purple Barbie, for that introduction. Hey, listen, it is our spotlight hour. It's a little after 8 in the morning on Friday, November 4th of 2022. We are live. It's our show number 781. Today's broadcast is show 781. As we march to our 800th broadcast, which, by the way, should be sometime mid-December, so definitely stay tuned each day with us. Let me get everybody on. We have a very, very special guest joining us in this spotlight hour. In just a couple minutes, you are going to be in for a treat. There's so much going on in the way of politics, and I've got, to me, one of the biggest businessmen, political experts, strategists out there. And he has been on our show many, many times and helped to inform and educate so many folks. I'm so excited to bring Wayne Smith back to this broadcast. And let me just say, Wayne was one of the very first, no, not one of the, he was the first the first official president of our Hair Radio Association. So when we formed it, so now we have about 1,000 members over there. So we owe a great deal to this man for helping to get that launched off and started. So we're going to get him on in just a moment. Let me bring my entire crew. We got a panel. Boy, we've got a panel this morning. You guys know Nicole Marie. She's out of Water Valley. Nicole Marie, also, now she sits on her own community board down in Water Valley, Mississippi. Again, good morning, yes. Nicole Marie. Yes.
Good morning.
And, yes. Now, I've got to tell you, and Michael Hopkins will be joining us in just a bit. He's the host of Vet Talk Radio Show. He's going to be coming in on the caboose end this morning. Right now, I'm going to bring Dr. Paul Dyer to the line. Dr. Paul Dyer out of the Maryland area. Again, he's with us on Thursdays and Friday mornings, and we're going to check in with Michael in just a little bit. So I want to just go ahead and bring you guys say good morning. I want to say good morning to all of you guys. And my very, very special guest. Now, we're talking about the incredible. I'm going to just go ahead and put the iconic word on you this morning, Wayne Smith. Because you're all of that and more. So officially, good morning. Yes, Wayne,
good
you're on
morning.
With Nicole Marie, Dr. Paul Dyer, and myself.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yes. Good morning. So how are you doing down there in Jersey, in New Jersey? Don't you always hate when people used to, you know, twist up the Jersey, the New Jersey game? Doesn't that always get you, Wayne Smith?
Yeah, well, listen, Jersey is fine. You've got a couple of bellwether elections going on in Congressional District 7. You may have seen the commercials.
Wayne, I'm going to have you to make sure you guys, to make sure if you can, no speaker so we can hear you clearly. Yeah, because I'm getting a little reverberation here. See if, make sure, yeah. Yeah, so we want to hear
you
your
hear
voice
better?
Nice and strong. Oh, yeah, way, yeah, much, much better. Go ahead, okay. please.
Yeah, so we have a bellwether election in the 7th Congressional District, where, and you may have seen in New York some of the advertising, carry, but Tom Malinowski.
Just a few.
Yeah, Tom Malinowski Tom Keene, and it could determine the outcome of the House in New Jersey with that election, but it's It's a bellwether election. Tom Malinowski is the sitting congressman. He represents a pretty – it's a pretty diverse district, but in the redistricting, he kind of was put on the altar of sacrifice, so they increased his district where the Republican voters outnumbered the Democratic voters by 14,000 votes. And Tom Keene, who is the son of former Governor Tom Keene, a very popular Republican governor who actually got a lot of Democratic votes but is not like his father. So that election in New Jersey might be one of the pivotal elections that determine the outcome of that the majority in the House or not. So people are watching that election extremely closely here in New Jersey.
Yes. Well, listen, we're going to talk about that election. We got a lot to unpack with you today. Okay. So we got a lot to get into today, I got to tell you. I want to talk about a little bit more about that, but I want to start a little bit at the beginning, Wayne Smith. Let's just bring everybody up to speed right now on why this whole, the midterms. Can you talk a little bit about what makes the midterms a little different than the presidential races, and why the midterms are so important to get up and participate in?
Yeah, historically, the incumbent president is in what they call the midterms. It's midterm his presidential term, and usually, if the ruling party loses seats in the Congress, it's sort of they try to frame it as a referendum on the president's work. And so, this one is a lot unusual because we had, when you had Donald Trump as president, and we had a president and we had Democratic rule in the Congress. So now you have, by very slim margins, in the Senate and the House, who was supposed to be leaning toward the president. You had a few like Joe Manchin, who were kind of leaning Republican in most policy initiatives. So it was very difficult, even though Biden worked some miracles to get a lot of stuff through that I think helped the American people. The infrastructure bill, he bringing on back on shore the technology issues, trying to manufacture chips in the United States. All those things were big initiatives and policy initiatives that both Democrats and Republicans said they wanted to get done. He did get them done, and he did get some concessions from Joe Manchin, though Joe Manchin got some concessions from the Biden administration as well. So that is the question. Is this a referendum on the president, or is this about control of the Congress? The other difference is, for many people, do we get a return if the Republicans can take control of both houses of Congress? Is that a referendum for Donald Trump to leap back into the White House? So there's a lot at stake. Every election you hear everybody say this is the most important election. I think every election is the most important election. So it goes without saying. But there are some pivotal issues here. And so in addition to the midterms, you have a lot of policy questions. What will be the state of Social Security? What will be the state of social programs in America? What will be the state of the financial markets and the budget? Will Republicans, if they take control of the House, will they lift the deficit cap just so that the budget runs and doesn't affect Wall Street and the average person? So there's a lot at stake in the midterms. And so that's why it's always been a pivotal look in American politics. Is that a referendum on the work of the President of the United States or not?
Well, my thing, the way that I love how you said that, and yes, it's always framed that it's a referendum on that sitting president at that time. But I'll tell you something. One of the things that, for me, I'm going to just raise my hand, and I don't know how you guys are there, but for me, it seems like there is an attack of personal on our personal freedoms. And that's why a lot of this with the upcoming elections for the midterms, we are concerned about Congress and what Congress is going to look like.
And we are, you know, they've already passed, the Supreme Court is already loaded with these extremist viewpoints, folks, these extreme, you know, with the way that they look at things. And so for us, we are going to, and again, I'm just speaking for myself. I can't say everybody feels this way. But it seems like we're going to notice the impact if the House, if Congress changes or it's flipped, as they say. I hate to use the word, but that's what it is.
Yeah, there could be some major policy differences, as you know, outlined earlier. And to just your mention of the Supreme Court is interesting, because in addition to Congress, there are elections what they call down ballot, and a lot of those down ballot offices are for Secretary of State, which controls the elections. And so we have this whole question of where people will be able to vote, how they'll be able to vote. Will the voting process be suppressed, or will it be more liberal to allow people to vote? Number two is the use of judges. When you mention the Supreme Court, most people don't pay a lot of attention to it, but in a lot of places in the United States, New Jersey isn't one of them, judges are elected.
Right.
And so with this heavily overlay on trying to influence the Secretary of State and how they administer elections and how judges rule. So the chess game that Mitch McConnell played, I think, with Donald Trump, because people say, well, how could he go along with some of this stuff that Trump is doing and saying? And he had one mission and one mission only. He wanted to control the kind of jurists that sit on the Supreme Court, and he did that. And so the dividends for the Republican Party in terms of the case against abortion, no one thought that would ever be dealt, you know, we thought that was a finished issue in the United States. But because he was focused on how he could get control of the kind of jurists that sit there, that leaves a lot of things that we thought were settled in the Supreme Court unsettled right now. So those issues could come up. But then even more than that, and according to the New York Times articles in yesterday's paper, I was just intrigued by some of the articles that there's millions of dollars that go into every election, but there are millions of dollars going into these elected judges around the country. So there's a certain type of judge that gets elected that will carry what many people view as conservative political views on the bench. People just assume that we're a country of laws and that politics doesn't overlay the judiciary. At least that's the assumption and the appearance that the American public and American power establishment tries to say, that we're a nation of laws and not of political opinions. But if you have justices who are being financed by people who have a particular point of view, it's going to be very interesting what kind of decisions you get on the local level and the state level, and then you go to
and
your college.
The federal, yeah.
So when it finally gets to the Supreme Court, you may have a certain philosophy that's predominating, then that's what your outcome might be. And so it may touch some of the freedoms that you talked about.
Exactly. Now, speaking of which, I want to get into that a little bit, because here, and clarify this for me, if you will, it seemed since when Biden took office, of course, and I know, you know, the Democrats control both, all of Congress, if you will. What about the old, I haven't heard much talk of this, and maybe you could tell us why, but the stacking of the deck for the Supreme Court, because to me, you kind of knew what was going to be the outcome. You know how it seems to me, and again, this is just from the, you know, let's just chat about it, but it seemed to me that with former President Trump, you know, he loaded the deck, if you will, with the extremist viewpoint folks who would, of course, support and stack as many of those judges all over the country that he could. You know, with this mindset that you just outlined, outlaid before. So my thing is, why could we not? And when I say we, I mean why could the Democrats could not load the add the number of Supreme Court justices? Because Is that impossible to do? Because I think
it
was a big
deal.
So
a lot of it has to do with political will. A lot of it has to do with tradition and whether or not the Democratic Party is willing to challenge those deep-seated traditions. And you know, you have some people in government, both Democrats and Republicans, are institutionalists. They believe
right.
the way the government was framed should always remain that way and that they've been able to negotiate themselves out of all kinds of quagmires. However, you know, when you're at a stalemate, when you have, you know, people's point of view where, you know, one point of view is prevailing, and then there are some Democrats who agreed with the Republicans. We talk about Sinema and Joe Manchin. The majority
right.
was so razor thin that they, you know, and Manchin views himself as a traditionalist and an institutionalist, so that they would not change the Constitution to add more justices. Biden tried to soften the blow, if you will, by setting up a commission to look at if expansion of the court would be a necessary one. The other thing,
I
you know,
do remember that.
Yeah, the other thing that people were counting on then, people thought who were institutionalists and traditionalists, that the idea, the legal concept of precedent, when issues were settled in the Supreme Court, it's not been part of the historical record in America that those things get changed. And so
exactly, we thought the impression that it was just incontrovertible that it was impossible
right, right.
to change
but,
once.
But
it,
if so,
wow.
we have to understand though in the law, if it can be given, it can be taken away.
Mm.
We you know, so that you know, that's just a reality that we're facing. That if you know, if something can be given by a court or a legislative body, and we saw it with this, what was happening in the Supreme Court, it'd be taken away. So one of the other burning issues that's before the court is this whole idea of affirmative action. And so,
right.
So one of the remedies, and people don't know, it was a Republican president, Richard Nixon, who
that's
fostered
right.
the idea of affirmative action. And even the whole idea of minority business set-asides and all those kinds of things, that wasn't an invention of the Nixon administration to try to create what they call black capitalism so that more people of color could enter the economic part of the American society. And also, you know, the war on poverty pushed this idea of how do we get people who have traditionally been locked out of American society by employment and jobs and training and education, how do we try to level the playing field so that people who were locked out of those opportunities get a chance to participate? So affirmative action was created
right.
because to kind of counteract what blatant discrimination or blatant racism so that
exactly.
people could get an opportunity to participate and so forth. So now that's now becoming the question. Like, we have now become a colorblind society where none of those issues are important anymore. And that's what the court, if you listen to the argument that his court is making. And so in this post-Obama society where they figure that a black man has reached the presidency, that affirmative action is no longer necessary. And there have been black achievers even during the worst time in American society. You had Ralph Bunche, who was the UN ambassador at a time when it was blatant discrimination all over this country. But so there's always going to be people, despite the odds, who are going to make it in various fields, whether it's medicine, law, but that's a minority. That's more of an exception than the rule. And so, you know, through the years, and at least in my lifetime, I lived through was born in the 50s, lived through the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s up till now. So you saw a gradual participation of blacks, Latinos, women getting opportunities and also getting qualified for those opportunities to serve. And affirmative action was this an idea out there that helped, you know, lessen the load. But now they're saying that's not going to be, and it looks like, at least the way I'm looking at some of the various opinions. And then, you know, this whole issue of diversity came out in the court discussion. So do we believe as a society that it is good to have all kinds of people in all kinds of positions because it helps make the society more geared toward its goal of equality? And I'll give you an example. Even in the Pennsylvania race with Dr. Oz and John Fetterman, so the question becomes, can Fetterman function because he had a stroke, a disability? But should we have people with disabilities in the government? Isn't that point of view a necessary point of view in government? I'm surprised that people haven't shifted the frame to say, wait a minute, Fetterman represents Americans, or there's, probably millions of Americans who are impacted by their health. And that means because you got a health challenge that you can't sit in the United States Senate. Isn't it important to have somebody who has lived and experienced dealing with a health challenge as he deliberates through health care issues that impact people? He's been through the hospital system.
Well, Wayne, I want to jump in because this is a huge race in Pennsylvania. And Fetterman, to me, where even to comprehend the questions that were being asked of him by the reporters, it all had to be kind of teleprompted. And so that is the question, whether or not he can do the job in office. And I certainly, for me personally, I believe he absolutely can. That's my thinking. But they are definitely, Dr. Oz, it seems like there is this, it's a huge race. It's a huge race in Pennsylvania, and it's a very important one. I don't know. This is a tough one to call, but I want to talk about some of these other high profile races that some of the individuals who just kind of, I don't even know what the word is. I'm going to describe a couple of folks who have become quite prominent in and out of our community, and to get your feedback on them. And we can bring the panel in a little bit on this as well. When I bring up the race that's happening in Georgia, one of the races, the Senate race in Georgia.
Right.
I have got to, I want to say the name Herschel Walker.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what comes to mind with Herschel Walker? And can you describe this race with Warnock down there,
yes,
please?
Yes, so my analysis of the race, just to talk about Herschel Walker, Herschel Walker has not prepared himself to be a public figure and deal with the political.
No,
yeah,
okay.
He has not prepared himself.
Why do you feel that way?
He has not prepared himself to serve in public life at whatsoever. And so popularity, so we have to wonder if pop culture popularity, sports popularity is the only thing that prepares you for public office. If so, you got name recognition. And so that's a cardinal rule in American politics. If you're going to win an election, whether it's on the local level or the national level, you do have to have name recognition, some kind of profile that people at least recognize your name because that gets your attention. But then the next step is, do you either have the background or the policy ideas that will move the country forward to deal with the complexity of the issues that you have to deal with in the United States Senate? And have you had the training coming up in your career? So Herschel Walker was a great football player. In fact, he worked for Donald Trump. I think he played for the Generals when Trump owned the team. So, but here's the difference. Bill Bradley, who played for the New York Knicks in New York, great basketball player, but graduate of Princeton University, definitely a policy wonk, different dynamic. So if you compare Bill Bradley to Herschel Walker, who is best prepared to serve in the United States Senate? Bradley took a run at the presidency. Now, to compare Herschel Walker to the articulate activist Raphael Warnock, to me, is a travesty. To Reverend Warnock's credit, he has taken the high road. He has not.
He's been very respectful.
Yeah, you would expect for a pastor to try to do the right thing. There's no perfect person. But reality is he's taking a very high road with Herschel Walker. But I think President Obama framed the issue for me very clear to anybody, whether you're a Republican, a Democrat, an independent, whatever you are. President Obama said, listen, Herschel Walker was a great football player. Heisman Trophy winner, all of that. But here's the analogy. If I'm going to a surgeon, I want to go to the top surgeon, the best surgeon I can, and just because a person is popular and he played on the football field, does that mean he's qualified to perform that operation? And it's very similar to having the background to be a United States senator. So it has nothing to do with him being an athlete whatsoever. There are plenty, I'm sure there are. Yeah, if you look at the background of the senators, there are probably some of them who played college sports and did all kinds of things. There are a few professional sports players that have done well in government. I point out one in former senator who represented New Jersey, in fact, Bill Bradley. So, it's not a shock jock thing that an athlete can't be a politician. He can, but you have to have the background, the training, the policy ideas to do an adequate job, and even to run a campaign. I mean,
it's
the guy pulls out his fake badge. I guess he was going to arrest the people that didn't vote for him. I don't know.
Right. Well, we saw that, and I tell you, I mean, I used to love getting those little badges in the Cracker Jack box, you know, when I was a kid. I used to love that. That meant everything to me. So I understand Herschel's, I understand his position on that. Speaking of Georgia, I do want to, before we leave Georgia, they've got a gubernatorial rematch down there with Stacey Abrams and the fellow down there, Hampton. What can we say? Are we pulling, do you think Stacey will be able to pull it out this go-round?
Well, she has a shot. If you listen to the pollsters, they say it's kind of neck and neck, but they say Governor Kemp is in charge. But here's, the Hair Radio crowd could make a difference, because I was just reading an article about all these social media influencers in the New York Times. There are campaigns, both Democrats and Republicans, who are playing significant social media influencers to encourage people to get out there and vote for, to take certain policy positions. But there is no better place to get people engaged in the election than the beauty salon and the barbershop. And President Obama used both of them to engage the vote. So I would tell all of your constituents in the hair community that, there's only a few days left, but everybody that comes to get a haircut, get their hair, hair, as they say, hair did, to encourage their people, say, listen, I'm going to tighten this head up real good, but make sure you get out there and vote on Election Day. Or if you got early voting in the state that you're in, make sure you leave the salon and go vote, or leave the barbershop and go vote, because that could make the pivotal difference. If you've ever been involved in local politics, and I had the opportunity to serve 3 terms as a mayor of a city, one of the things that you'll find out in grassroots politics is that sometimes people won't vote unless somebody they trust, respect, or know asks them to. You can have all the advertising in the world, but if your neighbor says, you know what, I think Bill Jones is the best guy for this job, but I need you to get out and vote for him. It's important to our neighborhood. It's important to our community. Some people will go out and vote. The groundswell of support, and we've never seen that in the black community as more as when Obama ran for president. So you had, the boys on the block for the first time registered, and for the first time in history, some of them voted. Some of them never came back to the polls again. But in Georgia, whether it's the water boys who sell water on the street to people, if all those folks who got out and voted for President Obama, Stacey Abrams will win that election. And so it's the last final crusade that we have. She has a shot. I do want to mention this about Pennsylvania while we're on the air, Carrie. Fetterman did receive a very significant endorsement yesterday.
Oh, tell us about it.
Yeah, and guess who it was?
Who?
Oprah Winfrey.
Really?
Yeah,
oh, wow.
She came out for Fetterman. You know, of course, you know, Oz got his start on TV through her and her production company. But she came out publicly. She said she wasn't going to get involved because, you know, she had her feelings, but she also, I guess, knew Oz. So she said she was going to stay out of it. But the election is so critical.
Well, let me tell you, the folks, and this is important, folks mm-hmm. look at this in with the side eye. I'm sorry, mm-hmm. we love Oprah, but people are giving her the side eye because they kind of hold her responsible for introducing Dr. Oz to our country. And so
people have a tendency. So no one knew at that time what his political views.
No, we didn't know. We can't blame Oprah.
Yeah. It's just like, listen, there were many New Yorkers who dealt with Donald Trump for years until the situation happened with the young man who were accused of the Central Park 7.
Right,
he did those full-page ads that we began to see his scurrilous political views.
Yeah, and I, you know what, let me just, because I'm a New Yorker, and let me mm-hmm. just officially say that I was one of those individuals mm-hmm. who was, you know, early on, before we knew the Donald Trump that we know today, he would
right.
make guest appearances on The View and other shows,
mm-hmm,
and we just,
mm-hmm,
he was always
mm-hmm.
witty.
Mm-hmm.
He was very witty and very funny and this and that. So we did not know, but you're absolutely right. That's when we kind of got a clue, and it kind of grew out from there.
So Oprah, you know, we got to give Oprah a pass on that because obviously
she didn't
know.
Oprah. We love Oprah. Yeah.
She couldn't know where Oz was going with his political aspirations.
No.
And sometimes people shift because they think that's going to get them where they want to go. And I think Trump was one of the – I don't think Trump believes in anything.
Yeah, that's right. Well, listen, here's the deal for today. And I love this, Wayne. You really, wow, you came in today. And that's all I can say. You came in today. Now, we're going to take a little tiny break. When we come back, I'm going to go around the panel. I'm going to have everybody, because I know they're dying to ask you a question as well
mm-hmm.
About any of this. And I want you to kind of go through a little bit on the importance of getting the folks to vote in our community. Folks often say, well, we'll vote for the president, if that, and that's it. And
mm-hmm.
so we want to kind of, you know, really get, you know, why it's so critical. Because, but that's all. Because, listen, if I jump in, I will take you all away to 9 o'clock. So I'm going to give you a little bit of a break. And when we come back, I'm going to lead off with Nicole Marie can ask her question and Dr. Paul Dyer, and we'll give Michael the last word. But so we got a lot more to get into this morning. I wish that we could talk a little bit about the disenfranchisement, the formerly imprisoned individuals. And, I mean, it's just so much to unpack.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much. And but we're glad to have you, our guest again, Wayne Smith, who will be with us not just today but next Friday as well in the same space. And we're going to really get this, because we can't – this is too much to unpack in one show anyway. So we'll be talking about the after effects of all this next week. But let's take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to lead in with Nicole Marie when we come back as well and Dr. Paul Dyer. Michael Hopkins, myself, we're going to be going in. Wayne Smith is our special, special guest today. So stay with us. We'll be right back. Let's see, where can we get our commercial on? Okay, there we go.
Root Rock Salon. Healthy roots, healthy hair. Our expert stylists will help you shine naturally beautiful. We offer everything from hydrating shampoo, conditioning hair mask, oil steam treatments to lock in the cuticle and an array of natural styles and programs to promote healthy hair growth using professional products. Book your consultation today online at RootsRockSalon.com. Visit us at 72 Harrison Avenue, West Orange, New Jersey, or call us at 973-957-7800.
I have a product called Organic Love Collection Shea Butter. It's a sensual shea butter. And once you apply it, it reinvigorates the skin. It takes care of blemishes, hyperpigmentation. It has all kinds of beautiful oils in it. And what it does for the hair, the nails, and the skin is to renew it and to make you feel beautiful, and moreover, to restore you to self-love and self-care. We're a Christian organization, and we're in the community trying to educate people on eczema, psoriasis, breaking hair, alopecia, things of that nature. And this product is a cure-all for the whole family. If you grab the jar or the bottle, it comes in a liquid and solid. It deals with eczema within 3 days. The longest it'll take is 7 days to restore your skin. And most of all, it's great for the scalp and very uplifting to the hair. It keeps the hair moist and free of breakage and, moreover, manageable. So as you work with it, if you have natural hair, it won't break. And if you have permed or color processed hair, it'll continue to allow for it to have the elasticity it needs, so that your mane grows beautiful and healthy. Currently, we are on social media, where business is just starting out. So I started on Instagram, once again, Instagram. And the name of the company is Organic Love Collection. And we can also be found through Instagram on Big Cartel. So the product could be purchased at organiclovecollection.bigcartel.com.
Repeat that one more time.
organiclovecollection.bigcartel.com.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com, because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
All right, we're back live. It's Wednesday. No, it's Friday morning, November 4th. Again, Friday, November 4th of 2022. Let me just get everybody back in to our on the mic this morning. It's our show number 781 here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We've got Nicole Marie, my co-star out of Water Valley, Mississippi. We've got the incredible Dr. Paul Dyer, who comes to us from out in Maryland. My very special guest today, of course, is Wayne Smith, and Michael Hopkins is going to be in with the last word in just a bit. Wayne, thank you so much for dropping by this morning. We so appreciate it, helping us to break down everything. And it's a tall order. There are so many different angles to this whole thing. It really is. There's a lot going on with this election. There's a lot going on politically, and I know I want to lead in with some of our wonderful, our incredible co-hosts here, Ms. Nicole Marie, and some of the panel may have some things to say. So, Nicole Marie, go ahead and take it away.
Thank you, Carrie. Good morning again, Wayne.
Good morning.
first interview. Good morning. You were the first interview that I conducted when I became the co-host of the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Oh, that's
and I
right.
Just thank you. Yes,
right.
I want to thank you so much for being so gracious and making me feel so comfortable during that interview. So I just wanted
wow.
to get that
Very
in real quick.
Quite welcome. Wow.
I just wanted to say, here in my community, I'm on the front line. I serve on the city council, and I've been out talking to people for months and months, getting people registered to vote, talking about voting and so forth. But what advice could you give about talking to those people who are still apathetic about voting and still believe that our vote does not count?
Well, you know, it's interesting. So when you talk to people, everything, I always tell people, I said, you know what? Yeah, I understand you don't want to participate in politics, but politics is participating on you if you don't participate in it. And so whatever you do, if you got a driver's license or if you want to get a driver's license, it's run by the government. Where you get that driver's license at is determined by the government. So if it's 100 miles away or if it's around the corner from your house, it's determined by the government. And so if you don't vote, did they say,
exactly.
Well, the people over here who vote, you know, we put the place over here, they're more likely to vote for us because those people over there don't vote. It doesn't make a difference. They not. And so, you know, what happens is people are spending millions of dollars in two directions. One, to get you to vote for their candidate. And then other people are spending millions of dollars to stop you from voting. So it must be something to it. Your folks don't spend money, and it's really an investment. They don't invest money on things unless that's important enough. So if people are, one, spending millions and millions of dollars to get you to vote a certain way, and then those who they figure won't vote their way, they're spending millions of dollars to stop you from voting, there's got to be something to it. And I think, you're doing it the best way. I was telling earlier with Carrie saying that, you know, we got to get that almost Obama presence out there for the election because, and that's why they pulled Obama out the campaign to hopefully to stir
right.
up some of that. Because we got to get people, whoever gets people who don't traditionally vote, who get more of the reason why Trump won the presidency, he stirred up a group of people who were complaining and moaning but weren't participating in the electoral process.
Exactly.
And no one could,
right.
That's why the pollsters couldn't find them. All their poll predictions about Hillary Clinton and all of that is your usual suspects. Pollsters typically poll
yes.
people who vote all the time. So me and you, they call us up. They know what direction we're going if we get in the poll.
Right.
But when people, even like younger people, they haven't had a voter history yet. So
exactly.
If they come out in masses, they could determine the direction of the country. That's what made Bernie Sanders such a force in the Democratic primary. The traditional Democrats didn't know that these young people were like they were listening to Bernie. And they came out, so
exactly.
Bernie became a powerful force in the country. So whoever can wake up new voters at a mass number because the traditional Democrats, the traditional Republicans, and that's why the battleground, you know, no matter what both parties say, who they always say they're after, we're after the independent, the swing voter, because they don't
right.
know how they're going
yeah.
to vote. So,
exactly.
so both parties spend a lot of money trying to persuade the swing voter. And so,
and
you know.
And I want to talk a little bit about that too, Wayne. I want to talk about the money issue because it's about $1 billion has been spent almost already. On this,
election. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I wanna work in Dr. Paul Dyer this morning. Dr. Paul Dyer, you've been listening to all of this. I know you have a question or two for our illustrious guest today, former New Jersey mayor for Irvington, New Jersey for 12 years, Wayne Smith. Dr. Paul Dyer comes to us from out of Maryland. Dr. Dyer, what would you like to say this morning?
Wayne Smith, I'm going to say thank you for the blessing that you've given these people, and I hope people just keep replaying the information you gave because it's so highly important to understand the factors of voting. And I think that's why people don't vote. They just not. We keep saying we need an educated voter, but when a person's working and taking transportation and getting on the bus and getting on the subways and trains and highways, they don't have the time to do the deep dive. So there's very few places for these people to trust to say, well, where do I go to get the information that I don't normally have through a commercial or social media so I can find out who to vote for? And so this is why the Hair Morning Radio Show is so important. And if people hear it, have them play it for someone else and say, I may not know everything, but I heard this morning. I heard this yesterday. Listen to this. And that's what people need to do to keep educated, but they don't have a place to go. I understand that. Like, you know, I'm a political junkie. I worked with Ralph Nader when he ran for presidency. I've worked with so many different campaigns, and it's just so surprising when I knock on an African-American's door, and I'm like, are you voting today, the day of voting, right? They're like, well, who's running? And it shocks me to my core. Like, what do you mean you don't know who's running? But people have to vote like your ancestors died for it. And I'll say that again. You have to vote like your ancestors died for it. And what I mean by your ancestors, the people that were enslaved, the people that were indentured servants, the people who've been marginalized, the people who have been imprisoned because of a few joints or a dime bag of weed, and they got 10, 20 years of dragonious sentences by these judges, that has a lot to do with what you did not do at the polls. When you're talking about, I want to start a business, and you don't know how to pay your taxes because of the taxation laws, that's because you didn't take the time to vote. I want to start a business. Do you know what it takes to start a business? It's not just a plan. It's who's the commission that's going to give you the licenses. All these things are voting issues. If you don't want to pay the amount of money you're paying at the transportation or your train, that's voting.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. How's Westmore going to do in Maryland, Doc?
You know, Westmore's going to win. And when you mention Oprah, it's funny because Oprah came out and supported him, and Obama supported him and did a PSA for him, and Hillary did for him. I'm with the Westmore campaign. I help him do a couple of things and things like that. I'm with the Transformative Justice Coalition. Mm-hmm. So we it's still about information, because the person he's running against, Dan Cox, I'm not even talking about how he's a Trump supporter, but he denied the January 6th the issues. So, I mean, but we are still talking about losing the House. This midterm election, like you said, this is a presidential election term. We're going to lose the House. And if we lose the House, we're more likely going to lose 2024. And if we lose 2024 to the Republican Party, which the way I'm projecting, it looks like we're going to, that means Judge Alito and Judge Thomas is going to retire, and that president is going to put in two more conservative judges. Appoint two more conservative judges. That's going to take us to the next 30, 40 years.
I couldn't have laid it out. Dr. Dwyer did a phenomenal job in laying out the case why it's important for folks to vote. And then the other thing I would like to add is just that, Carrie, you mentioned this in one of your questions, was the down ballot. So we're talking about the judiciary. There are a lot of judges. There are district attorneys on the ballot. The Republicans are trying to frame the whole conversation about crime. And, obviously crime is an issue wherever we live.
Right.
And it's always been an issue in mostly every campaign I've ever known. But the reality is those other people and those down ballots, even beyond the congressional seats, have an impact on the quality of life you're going to have. And so you need to vote at every level. Vote for your congressman and your U.S. senator, but vote down ballot, because those down ballots, particularly around if you have elections for judges, Dr. Dwyer couldn't have said it better. The number one challenge that we have as a society, particularly in the African-American community, is where do you get credible information from? So let me just kind of overlay, having been a practitioner of how you get your message out. So the number one place that generally in the black community that people would get what they thought was credible information was from their religious house of worship, whether it was the church, the masjid, the mosque, wherever you went for your religious instruction, that's where you got some healthy discussion about civics and public policy. And so, I mean, I've seen Jamal Bryan, a bunch of others involved in the Georgia race come out. And but people have to educate people about the public issues as a day. So wherever you worship, that could be a foundation stop. Now we've got a whole lot of folks who don't worship at all. So the key is how do we get on the ground? So there's been plenty of – that's where the progressives are pretty good at. But the question is, do progressives have a focus in black and brown neighborhoods? Because whether it's activists, we have to be on the ground. Because the newspaper industry is dying. So if people are not – we still have a digital divide in our society. And in fact, one of my
Yes. No, go ahead, Wayne. Finish your thought, please.
So one of my business projects I'm working on is bringing broadband to underserved communities around the country, even talking to municipalities about doing their own broadband networks. We found out during the pandemic that, if people didn't have jobs, they couldn't keep their internet service up. So kids who had to rely on internet services in their home, if their parents lost their job or couldn't get to work and they couldn't pay the bill, well, Comcast and AT&T and all these other folks, they're based on you paying your monthly bill. So some people got shut off and kids didn't have access to if you could try to run to a library where they have it. Rural areas, and I'm sure Nicole Marie can tell us more about places like Mississippi where they have lack of broadband in rural areas, period. So, so we have a lot of fronts to fight on and get information. And, that is the number one challenge that Dr. Dwyer laid out. We have an information deficit with all the information in the world.
Yeah.
We're in an information age, but we still have an information deficit. People don't know there's elections still.
I want to jump in on that point because this is something that is big as well. And talk about constituencies out there. What about the voting block of the military folks? Michael Hopkins, he's been standing by listening, and I know he's chomping at the bit. Michael, I'm going to have you to jump right on in. You're going to have the last word this morning. You're on with Wayne Smith. Michael Hopkins is the host of the Vet Talk radio show. You know this on Tuesday mornings right here on our network. Michael, you've been tuned into the whole show. You've been listening. What would you like to say to Wayne Smith this morning?
Well, Mr. Mayor, one of the issues that a lot of us as military people have was that January 6th day. And that is still burning in a lot of us, that January 6th. And the way I see it, it was so pivotal for this country. And that's going to influence a lot of us as former military and current military on the way we're going to vote, even for voting for this, the midterm and the presidency.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of us, that one incident, it's almost like for a lot of us, it's like a slap in the face.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You serve your country. We did all these fantastic things. Yes, you gave us the PACT Act, but we're still rocking and reeling with the events of January the 6th. I've been in both places. I've been law enforcement. I've been military.
Mm-hmm.
So, I hear some of the people where I live here in the Virginia area.
We're going to start to wind down. So, yeah, please go ahead, ask your question, Michael, to make sure.
Right. Yeah, that's my question to you, Mr. Mayor. This January 6th event.
Well, so that's never in our history that we've seen where a sitting president appeared to be complicit in the attacking of his own government. Even if you lose the election, whatever the case may be, we've never had that kind of what was, you know, an insurrection type thing. So, you know, many veterans who have put themselves on the line for the country have got to question people who would even allow a climate for that exist without condemning it appropriately, by telling your followers that's not the way to go. You know, we have to convince people that our point of view is better than theirs. That's what American politics is, convincing people that your point of view is the best point of view for the country. And you can't take it. You can't create a revolutionary war again. This is not Britain that we're fighting. There's established history and ways of doing things in this society that most people find acceptable. So, I hope the veterans come out and even the active military come out and express their point of view about this, because it's important. In fact, it's the military that showed us how to do early voting and vote by mail, because they were away in country. So, you know, the Republican philosophy about not allowing vote by mail and all of that, for years the military, because they were stationed all over the world. That's how they voted and expressed their participation. So it was a way of expanding the democracy. And I want to thank the veterans who participated in that process, because they really laid out a model for how we get more people engaged, as Dr. Dwyer said, to make it easier. If you before just getting to the polls on election day, if you work 100 miles away from your site, but you got to go to work every day, you don't get home till midnight, you can't vote. But if you can vote early, or if you can vote by mail, at least eliminates the process of people. We want to expand democracy, and I think that's what you went to, you know, represented both in the military to fight for our country, but also as a law enforcement officer, and I have law enforcement members in my family. You know, you get up every day trying to make sure the world is a safer place, and you want more people to participate in it, not limit their participation. So I hope that everyone, you know, hears our cry all over Hair Radio land and gets out and gets family, because it starts with family, it starts with friends, it starts with neighbors.
And when you'll be back with us, you will be back with us 1 week from today.
Yes.
And we'll be after, it'll be after the election. We're going to really wrap it up and tell us what's next and what are we going to do.
All right.
We don't get into all that next week. Listen, I want to thank you for being an outstanding guest, as always, Wayne Smith.
All righty. Have a great day, everyone.
We'll have to get more into, more of what you're doing out there. We want to remind everybody, you are a businessman. You also present a lot of information out there to folks, so we appreciate what you're doing. We're going to have to get you back here for a much more extended time next week.
All right.
Also want to just remind everybody, want to thank all of our amazing panelists today, Dr. Paul Dyer. We want to thank Nicole Marie. We want to thank Michael Hopkins. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, next week, we have three legends joining us. Again, we have Jasmine Guy. I'll be chatting with Jasmine Guy next week. Also chatting with the incredible D.C. Carson from Living Single, played Kyle. And, of course, Dorian Wilson, who was Professor Ogilvy. I'll be chatting with all three legends next week on the Hair Radio Morning Show. You don't want to miss next week's broadcast. Thanks so much, everybody. This is the Hair Radio Morning Show, the best talk in the morning. Thanks, everybody. Outstanding job. I'm going to get the outro on, and I'm going to take a nice break. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you back here Tuesday morning at 6 for the next live edition. Here's the outro. Great job, everybody.
Well, it's that time to bring this episode of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close. But it does not end here. The show continues over at our 24/7 Hair Radio broadcast network at www.hairradio.com. Now, I must thank today's great guests and our legacy advertisers. These are the folks who've been supporting our show over the years, including